Hello and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Brenda-Vaccaro-Atkinson.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Katie. 1-900 Pop Shop.
This is what I sound like now.
After a long Billboard Music Awards weekend, where Katie also was there for a bachelorette weekend.
Vegas, baby.
She did Vegas right. She was not only working, she was playing in Vegas. Oh. We're going to get stories about the Thunder from Down Under later on in the show.
I swear this is just like a legit cold, though.
Yeah.
And not Vegas related, but...
I think it's actually just a cold.
Here
it's,
we are.
It's not just like the hangover weekend. So the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, we are recapping our experience at the 2016 Billboard Music Awards, where we talked to everyone from Fifth Harmony and Ariana Grande to Meghan Trainor and Shawn Mendes. We'll talk about what you didn't see on TV, along with some of our favorite moments from the show and the whole BBMA's weekend. Plus, we've got an interview with BBMA performer Troye Sivan, who we caught up with the day before his performance, so stay tuned for that. In addition, we've got updates on the Billboard 200 Albums Chart and the Billboard Hot 100 Songs Chart, and a fun chart stat of the week that you won't want to miss. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Oh, yeah. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you're radio talking for the both of us.
Yeah, I'm talking for the both of us. Also, my lips are so dry. It's when if I talk too widely, my lip starts to split.
Oh, no.
So
we're a hot mess today.
Yeah, we're a couple of hot messes. Yeah. So let's talk about the charts first before we move on to the Billboard Music Awards. So on the Billboard 200 Albums Chart, Drake's Views album holds at number one for a third straight week. And in doing so, he logs an incredible number of streams from the album. I'll get to the streams thing in just a second. In the week ending May 19th, the album earned 239,000 equivalent album units, of which 83,000 were in traditional album sales. Of course, all of that data is according to Nielsen Music. Further, the album generated 186.1 million streams for its tracks that week. That's up 32% compared to the previous week.
So why did it all of a sudden just jump out of nowhere?
That's a really good question, Katie.
Or was it not out of nowhere?
Well, see, I was confused too when I saw the number. I'm like, hold on, wait, is there something wrong with our numbers? And then I remembered, wait, it became widely available to all streaming services.
Aha, so Spotify comes in. And
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because the album was exclusively released through Apple Music streaming service and the iTunes store for its first 2 weeks, I believe. Definitely the first 2 weeks in terms of streams, it was exclusive to Apple Music, and then it became widely available. So that's why it suddenly had this big jump. The cool thing about that is that Views now has the top three streaming weeks ever for an album. So its debut frame, which was 245.1 million streams, its third week, which we just said was 186.1 million, and then its second week, which is 140.8 million. And then rounding out the top five biggest weeks for an album in terms of streams for its tracks, in fourth place is the debut of Beyoncé's Lemonade, which had 115.2 million streams. And fifth is Justin Bieber's Purpose debut with 100.4 million.
It almost feels like streaming is growing.
It's funny. It all really happened basically since last December. A lot of the times this happens sometimes around Christmas time where people really start to transition or adapt to a new service or application or function because they get a bunch of new gadgets for the holidays.
Sure.
And we see a huge rush in digital sales or streams around the holidays as kids are at home for 2 weeks. They got nothing else to do, and they're like, let me start streaming stuff.
Yep.
But we've also seen this year a lot of big superstar albums come out in really unconventional ways.
Streaming only and exclusive to certain platforms. And yeah. Yep.
Elsewhere in the top 10, and speaking of streaming stuff, there's another big streaming event that happens in the top 10 this week. Meghan Trainor and Chance the Rapper make big news in the top 10 as Trainor secures the top debut of the week at number 3 with her second full-length album, Thank You, while Chance the Rapper's Coloring Book starts at number 8 and becomes the first streaming exclusive album to hit the chart. Coloring Book launches with 38,000 equivalent album units, and nearly all of those units were generated by streams from the album's tracks via Apple Music, where the album was exclusively available. Now, when I say nearly all, because I think there was like one song from the album that was on maybe one other streaming service, so like a handful of streams came from somewhere else.
Got it.
But it was all streams. There were no track sales. This album was not put up for sale. None of the songs were available to purchase.
Yeah.
It was just all streams. And it's the first album to be completely, totally, only streaming powered on the Billboard 200 chart. So an album that is like virtually available.
Yeah.
Completely, like not even purchasable.
Yeah.
It's on the chart. And not even just on the chart, it's in the top 10.
Yeah.
And Chance the Rapper isn't on a label.
Independent still.
Totally independent.
Yep.
I think he released this through TuneCore, which is a service that a lot of indie artists use. And he's not like he's a nobody. I mean, he's it's amazing what he's done on his own.
Yep. Actually, I was watching one of your interviews from the red carpet on Sunday, and you were talking to Shawn Mendes, and you asked him if he could work with any artist, his like dream collaboration, and he said Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like... Yeah, he's done pretty well for himself as an indie artist, to say the very least.
Chance, call up Sean.
Yeah. By the way, make that happen.
Make it happen. And if you're wondering how our numbers work out, how it figures out, the album actually generated 57.3 million streams. I don't think I actually said that number yet. And each streaming equivalent album unit is equal to 1,500 streams from an album. That's the math that we use to figure out our chart. So if you take a raw streaming number, like 57.3 million, you divide it by 1,500 to get what its streaming equivalent album unit is.
So it's not like, you know, somebody just listens to the album one time and it's the equivalent of buying the album on the Billboard 200 chart.
Right. There has to be 1,500 streams of tracks from an album.
Yep.
So that could be 1,500 streams of
just one song. Yeah.
Or all of the tracks combined.
It's all very scientific.
It's very scientific. Over on the Hot 100, Drake scores a second non-consecutive week atop the Billboard Hot 100, which means he's atop both the Billboard 200 and the Hot 100 this week.
Look at Drake.
As on the Hot 100, One Dance, featuring Wizkid and Kyla, rebounds 2-1. The song returns to the top after Justin Timberlake soared in at number one last week, Katie's favorite artist, with Can't Stop the Feeling, which this week drops to number 3.
Thank you for including that exclamation point in your pronunciation.
Feeling! Hot 100 chart manager and fellow co-director of charts Gary Trust points out a fun chart stat online this week about the Hot 100. Rihanna's Needed Me holds at number 10, and last week when Needed Me hit the top 10, it became Rihanna's 29th Hot 100 top 10 single, tying her with Michael Jackson for the third most top 10s in the chart's history. Now, only her fellow BBMA's performer Madonna, who has 38 top 10s, and the Beatles, with 34, have more top 10 hits. And Rihanna just passed the 28 earned by Stevie Wonder, another BBMA's performer. Hey! He joined Madonna for the pair's show-closing tribute to Prince on Sunday night, duetting on Purple Rain after Madonna's solo version of Nothing Compares to You. I feel like, Katie, this is a good place to transition to our discussion about the Billboard Music Awards.
I would say. I mean, you just set it up so beautifully.
I set that up a little bit.
But then we talked about it, so that kind of ruins the segue.
Yeah, well, you know.
What are you going to do?
We ruined the segue by saying that there was a segue.
Yeah.
Well, what were some of your highlights from the show, Katie? Because we were both backstage for the duration of the show. Katie saw most of the show.
Yeah. I was trying to watch the feed, although I was by our photo lounge, And so, you know, when somebody like, say, Britney Spears for instance, rolls back, we quiet the feed down a little bit, let her have her moment, play some music so she can take some photos.
How long was she in there?
It was like a minute.
Yeah.
Like, she came in and she did a minute with us, and she did a minute with the Billboard Music Awards photo lounge, the official show photo lounge, and then she breezed back out as quickly as she came in. And but it was like, whoa, I never thought I'd be this close to Britney. Hi, Britney. So that was awesome. But as far as actually on the show, I actually really loved Britney's performance, which opened the show. It's funny. I was writing about it, so I went and I timed it, which is really weird. But it was 7 minutes and 48 seconds of hits from Britney.
Well, mostly hits. Some of those songs are pretty obscure.
That's true. And actually, she played, I really love Breathe On Me. It's one of my favorite Britney songs. It was never a radio hit or anything. And I love to do spin class to Breathe On Me. It's a great spin song.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's not up-tempo.
Have you ever been to a spin class before?
No.
Okay, so, like, in addition to, like, the upbeat stuff, there's also a lot of, like, hill climbing you do in spin class, like, where you're, like a lot of resistance is on and you're, like, climbing up a hill. That's where they play a slower, like, driving song. That was a perfect one for that.
No.
Perfect. There's a fun fact.
Well, I think the opening medley was designed to not only showcase her hits, but also her Piece of Me show in Vegas.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of the sets and accoutrement that was used in the production were from her show at the Access Theater at Planet Hollywood. And Breathe On Me and Touch of My Hand and I Love Rock and Roll, which were all part of the medley, are all songs that she added to the Piece of Me show this past
March.
When
she revamped it.
When she revamped the show. And her fans have been going sort of bonkers over the revamped show since March. And I've watched YouTube clips. And I'm like, woo, girl.
How good does she look, too? Oh, my God.
She looks so amazing.
She looks so good.
She walked past us on the red carpet outside.
Yeah.
Like, she did photos.
Oh, she had that black cape number on, right?
Yeah. She walked by. I'm like, it's Britney. Oh, my God, Britney. And
that's how I was backstage.
And she was like 10 feet away. I'm like, it's Britney. And she looks, oh, my God. And then she just breezed on in.
Yep.
But yeah, so much hairography.
Oh, my God. So good. And then did you see she tweeted after the show that all she wanted was a cheeseburger?
She's probably
girl, you earned that cheeseburger. You go.
She's probably been off carbs for so
long.
For
real.
And I think people were also freaking out because she busted out the, and I haven't compared it, but the I'm a Slave for You hand choreography where she does that thing with her hands in front of her face and the do. Anyway, lots of hair flips and
no Python this time, but the moves from the VMA performance for sure.
The hair that she was working was working very well. I really liked the Celine Dion performance, and then her being presented the Icon Award as a surprise.
Her
15-year-old son, and she broke down and cried on stage.
So did I.
I mean,
I was standing next to Keith, weeping.
And Katie was lost. She just lost it.
I was
it.
Done. I really did. Silvio comes over, our coworker.
My boss,
Keith's boss, came over and was just like, "Calm down, Katie. Get it together, Katie."
I was like, "Why is Katie crying?"
But it was just so touching. I mean, first of all, she's been through a lot. And second of all, she just seems like just such a sincere, genuine human being. And she just seems to like really just be touched by everybody. Like, you know, she got a standing ovation after her performance and she could just really feel that. And she actually talked to our coworker, Shira, backstage after the performance. She was, you know, very graciously talking about Madonna and Stevie Wonder's tribute to Prince and then kind of transitioned into her own personal, experience with loss this year. And she's just a fabulous human, basically.
Yeah. What else? Oh, Madonna performed.
Yes.
And she closed the show with a tribute that was introduced by Questlove.
Yes.
Questlove wrote a speech about Prince passing away. And what did he call it? Did he call it? He called it departing, I think. Moving on. He had a very specific word, which would have been great if I had actually remembered the word. And then Madonna came out and in this amazing purple,
like lavender, shiny, like
lace and
word.
Paisley.
Prince would have worn this outfit. This outfit like would have been a Prince outfit.
This would have been like something that Prince or Wendy or Lisa or Sheila E. would have worn in 1984.
Yes.
Like if the Billboard Music Awards were on TV in 84, 85 and he was there to accept an award on behalf of Purple Rain,
yep.
he would have been wearing that.
Yes.
It was gorgeous.
Perfect.
She looked amazing.
Yes.
Beautiful makeup, beautiful hair. Saying Nothing Compares to You, which Prince wrote, and then later became a number one hit on the Hot 100 for Sinead O'Connor. And it was pretty evident, I think, midway through the song, she was crying. She was teary-eyed, and she finishes the song, and then, surprise, out comes Stevie Wonder with a purple scarf, and they sing Purple Rain together.
Backed by amazing, like, gospel singers.
Yeah.
And
then the audience, they all have light-up armbands that turn purple, and everyone's singing along, and they're clapping, and I thought it was a cool moment.
I have to say, my favorite part about it was how they started the performance with Prince's intro to Let's Go Crazy.
Oh, yeah, Dearly Beloved.
And then they the entire time had these amazing Prince photos going behind them. And her performance was very stripped down. Like, it was just about the words of that song, Nothing Compares to You. And I thought the whole thing put the focus squarely on Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a vanity performance for Madonna or Stevie. It was like, let's all together, the audience, sing along and celebrate Prince.
Yeah. I think yes, all those things.
Yes.
Well, I think those were probably like the three kind of like big moments of the night.
Kesha and Rihanna, by the way. Kesha and Rihanna both, I thought two of their best vocals I've ever heard from either of them. I thought both sounded amazing. Obviously, both were very different performances. Kesha's was this, you know, big triumphant return to the stage. And Rihanna did a song from Anti that people,
an album cut.
Yeah, and she killed it. Like, Bruno Mars tweeted during the show, like, just, like Rihanna killing it with the swag or something. Like, she just nailed it. Like, I don't think I've ever heard a better vocal from her live.
Demi Lovato was pretty great.
Yes. Too. And she made a statement with her shirt. She had the half male, half female, like, bathroom logo on her shirt to support all the anti-LGBT laws.
And, yeah.
And gender-neutral bathrooms and all that. So that was pretty cool, and she was great.
And, and considering that she was assigned or chosen or whatever to do a song that is effectively a year old.
I was like, she's probably just like, it's about to be summer.
Yeah.
Let's do Cool for the Summer.
She's like, I'm about to go on tour with Nick Jonas.
Yeah.
Let's do Cool for the Summer.
Exactly.
Are we missing a big performance?
I mean, probably. There were a lot. The Go-Go's were super fun. It was great to have them on the show. I honestly, there wasn't a bad one. Fifth Harmony danced their asses off.
Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani.
Oh, that
was,
my mom loved that one.
Oh, your mom loved it.
She loved it. She loved their loving eyes looking at each other the entire time.
They embraced at the end.
Yes.
They held on to one another.
Yes, they did.
Everyone, I think, was probably hoping for something more. I'm like, nope, you're going to save that for offstage.
That was great.
What are some of the things that we did not see on TV, Katie? Because I know you wrote a story, like a number of things that you did not see on TV backstage and around. What were some things that you, off the top of your head, remember that were not seen?
We sort of mentioned that we had Celine backstage and we talked to her a little bit about the Madonna tribute. We actually, or the Prince tribute from Madonna, we actually witnessed her watching the tribute backstage, like rapt by it. And staring at the screen, like just taking a break from all interviews, photos, etc., to just be able to watch that performance.
Oh, wow.
And that's why when our coworker Shira interviewed her, she said, she introduced it with, we just watched you watch this tribute, like, talk to us about, Madonna's performance. And also, Celine has been doing Purple Rain in her Vegas set for the last year, like before Prince died. And they apparently were friends, and Prince apparently was asking Celine what it was like to perform in Vegas. So sorry to bring that up, because that probably means he was considering that, and that would have been incredible. Prince doing a residency.
I guess he'd previously done some sort of short-term stint in Vegas. Because Elton John, after Prince died, Elton John was performing in Vegas.
When he did the red piano thing?
And Elton gave a story.
Similar.
Said a story of just like, you know, Prince and I used to be, you know, sort of hotel mates here in Vegas when he was playing Vegas. And because he basically explains, like, when they put you up here, you're in, like, a big, like, apartment at the top of, like, a hotel.
You're living in a hotel, yeah.
And he's like, when I would be going out to go play tennis at, like, 8 in the morning, Prince would be rolling in from a long night, and we would, like, you know, exchange pleasantries and say hi to one another and, right. you know, hang out in the hallway. Right. And then I'd go out for a day, and he'd be going home in the morning. And it was just a funny story. And then, you know, he played, I guess that's why they call it the blues.
So that was incredible to see her back there and then to hear this Prince story. Also, I gave Keke Palmer a box lunch backstage.
Oh.
Because she was at her photo lounge, and she passes by me and our coworker Stephanie, and she's like, "Where'd that food come from?" And I was like, "You want some?" Like, and she went into the other photo lounge, and I went and got her a box lunch. And when she came out, she was like super excited about getting a ham sandwich. So.
Wow.
There you go.
I have to say, and this is going to sound ridiculous, when we say boxed lunch, what happens is at these events, folks that are listening, when you're invited press generally and you're covering an event that, you know, where you're trapped backstage for like hours on end, they usually provide you with some sort of meal.
Yeah.
And it's usually a box. And inside said box is some sort of turkey and cheese, ham.
It's pretty much always a sandwich.
A cookie.
An apple or orange.
Yeah.
A bag of chips. Yeah.
And then they'll have like a thing of like waters or like soda pop.
Yeah.
And they've gotten better lately where the sandwiches will actually, they'll have the vegetables on the sandwich separately wrapped.
So they're not all soggy and weird.
So it's not soggy and weird.
This is what the people want to know about, isn't it?
This is backstage stuff.
By the way, it was a delicious sandwich.
I was
going to
say, the food, all the box lunches that we had at the T-Mobile were all actually pretty darn good.
Thank you, T-Mobile, for feeding us well.
Thanks, T-Mobile and Depart Productions for your pretty darn good food.
We appreciate it.
Any other, like, what we didn't see backstage moments?
You know,
I mean, Brittany rolling through was a cool experience.
Our coworker Denise was actually in the crowd, too, and she was feeding me a lot of great stuff from the crowd. And she was the one that saw kind of the offstage, like, hug and walking offstage hand in hand of Blake and Gwen after their performance. Oh. And yeah, it was. We had eyes all over T-Mobile Arena.
I covered the red carpet, the blazingly warm red
80
carpet.
Degree plus
you
red
know,
carpet.
It was 80 allegedly, but it was like direct sunlight with no clouds.
Yeah,
and that was for like the first half of the carpet. The second half of the carpet, the sun went behind the building, and we got shade on our spot on the carpet. And I'm not complaining about the carpet because I know I'm incredibly fortunate that I get to have the job that I have and I get to do the things that I get to do. I'm only complaining about the heat. Because I wasn't wearing a jacket because I purposely, I was thinking about wearing a vest. I'm like, no, I'm just going to wear a shirt and tie.
Smart move.
And I get there and I'm standing there and I'm literally, like, we're only like 15 minutes into it and I feel the sweat dripping down my back. Like, it's just that hot.
Our coworker Ty was wearing a three-piece suit.
Coworker Ty was also on a live stream, like, co-hosting it. Like, he had other things to worry about.
Other than sweating?
Also, all that sweat would have been hidden by a jacket.
It was just a glow on screen.
Yeah, he was dewy. From the carpet, some of my favorite moments were talking to Fifth Harmony.
Yeah.
I think I counted up, this is the seventh time that I've spoke to Fifth Harmony on a red carpet. The first time I talked to them was at the 2013 Radio Disney Awards.
Wow, good memory.
I looked this up. and
right, was that like right after X Factor? Was it 2012 X Factor?
X Factor wrapped in December of 2012.
Yeah.
And they formed in, July 27th, 2012. That was during boot camp. That's why their album's called 727. But talking to them, just because it was one of those things where talent, an artist, will sometimes recognize you, sometimes they won't. It'll take them a second to remember you.
Yeah.
And so when they all came up, Camila was just like, hey, and like remembered from our Pop Shop interview. She
came right into the LA office. Yep.
And they all kind of, I think, remembered who I was.
Yeah.
I mean, they always love Billboard.
Yeah.
But we actually talked to them for a really like a nice long time. I talked to each individual lady.
And Ty Dolla Sign came up during the interview.
which was a great moment. You can watch this video on Billboard's YouTube channel.
It was really sweet, too, because he said the reason he wanted to work with the ladies was because his little daughter loves them.
Yeah.
And they didn't, they seemed like they hadn't heard that story before. Like, Allie seemed, like, really touched by it. Like, oh, like, what's your daughter's name? Like, let's shout her out. And it was really, really cute.
They couldn't be, like, honestly, every time they talk to us, they are so nice and so pleasant and so bubbly. And I'm just so happy that they're actually having, like, full-on legit success. You know?
Yep.
It's so
cool. Yeah, like, Worth It was, like, that slow burn, and it crawled its way up, and then they, like, got rewarded. Like, Work From Home is, like, a legitimate, like, hit out the gate.
It's number one on the Pop Songs Airplay
chart
this week.
Number one this week, Pop Songs.
Yeah. And then also on the carpet, talking to Shawn Mendes, who turns 18 in August.
Still a baby.
Still just a wee small child. Shawn was lovely. And it was like, we actually talked a lot before we were actually on camera. Like, we were like killing time before, and he was like waiting to come up, and I'm just like chatting with him and his publicist. His publicist, by the way, is Benny Tarantini, who is also the publicist for AC/DC and Adele.
Adele, yes.
So I'm just like, strange bedfellows, y'all keep. And who else? I love talking to the Go-Go's.
Who else? You got a really big star. A little Ariana Grande action.
Yeah, Ariana Grande. She was the very last person we talked to.
Yes.
And like when she was doing press at the end, like they were like breaking down the carpet. They were like done.
That's amazing. She made time.
Yeah. And all of us were surprised that she was stopping to do press. And I think partially it was just because she's like, they just put out an album.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make sure that they talk to the press about the new album. And, the publicist, and this is what normally happens, especially if they're pressed for time, a publicist will kind of motion to you like two questions or just one question. Like,
right.
we don't have a lot of time. And they said two questions. And I think I really only asked one question.
Yeah, you were like having a conversation with her. And so like there was a back and forth. And I think they mistook that for like, oh, okay, there's your two questions.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I mean, we had an exchange where she's on the current cover of Billboard magazine.
Yeah.
And we joked around about, she's like, yeah, you'll look great in a towel. I'm like, no, really, I think you would. And then we talked about just the release of the new album. And then they were like, okay, kind of like telling me that it's time to go. And I'm like, well, no, she's on the Hot 100 Fest. I'm like, you're on the Hot 100 Fest. And it was so funny because it took me a moment to like get the question out because I wanted to ask her about headlining our Hot 100 Festival.
Right.
And she started to answer the question, and I took the mic back. I'm like, that took me a second. She's like, no, you got there. It's all right. I thought it was hilarious.
No, it was cute.
So go watch that online.
Billboard.com/videos, plural. You can see all the videos from Sunday, in addition to some like little highlights from performances, etc.
Yeah, and you can also, if for some reason you don't want to go there, you can go to youtube.com/billboard.
Exactly.
But go to that first one first, because you'll see more there, actually. I think it's time for our guest interview.
I think it is too.
We talked to Troy Sivan, who was Kia's one to watch on the Billboard Music Awards.
Keith was also Kia's one to watch at the Billboard Awards. I hope Pop Shop listeners were watching the show and saw that Keith was featured in the intro package for Troy's performance on Sunday. It was pretty great.
Yeah, I was on TV.
Yes, and we were all backstage watching it together, and we applauded him. It was very cute.
Oh well. Yeah, so I was in the introductory package to his performance on the Billboard Music Awards. But we also just love Troy. On the day before the Billboard Music Awards, we talked to him about how he was feeling in the run up to his performance. His upcoming Suburbia tour, which starts on October 16th in San Francisco. And he talked a little bit about, he teased how there's a new single coming from his album Blue Neighborhood, but he couldn't say what it is. I think I know what it is, but I don't think I'm allowed to say anything.
You should share your guesses on Twitter. Let us know.
Yeah. Do you have a guess?
Yeah.
Like, what's Troy's next single?
@Keith_Caulfield.
Yeah. And @Troy Sivan.
Yes. Let's see. Bother him.
Hit him up. So here's our interview with Troy Sivan. My youth is yours. Run away now and forever. My youth is yours. Welcome back.
Thank
to the
you
Billboard
so much.
Pop Shop Podcast, Troy Sivan.
How's it going?
I'm good, and I'm going to tell you now to put the mic a little bit closer to you.
Sorry, yes.
Just because it's so loud in here.
Yeah.
We're actually recording this backstage at the Billboard Music Awards.
If you listen very closely, you can hear Ariana Grande killing her sound check. She sounds amazing.
If you hear like a very loud, clear voice, it's Ariana Grande.
Yeah, just like nailing every note.
I'm excited because I feel like we have like a symbiotic relationship now.
Yeah.
Because we're both featured in a Kyo One to Watch video series.
Right.
Except I'm just merely a supporter.
Yeah, but you said some very, very nice things.
All so true things.
Thank you so much. It wasn't scripted. It meant a lot.
None of that stuff was scripted. That was all me.
I'm glad. Thank you. No, it was really, really nice to see you in that. Thanks.
People are going to hear this after the show is already aired.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, we can talk about it as if it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
So how are you doing right now in terms of the nerves? Are you just like, yeah, I'm fine?
Right now, I'm actually okay, yeah. I think, you know what, it's been such a weird thing. I've been through already, like over the last couple of weeks, a roller coaster of, you know, feeling like super, super incredibly nervous and petrified and then being like completely chill about it. And
right.
I think I've kind of met in the middle somewhere where I'm like embracing the butterflies, but as well, I think I've accepted in my head, I've just decided I'm not going to be like cripplingly nervous. You know, I just have to kind of have faith that like I'm here for a reason and this is supposed to be happening in this very moment and just like enjoy it, you know?
It's a nice moment.
Yeah, it's a really, really nice moment.
I think when I was like researching it, I think it was like the first time that you've been on like primetime TV in America.
It's my first award. I've never even been to an award show.
Bull. You've never been to a single award show?
Nope.
That's amazing.
And now, yeah. Now this is happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'm glad that we can be the first.
No, yeah. Thank you. And yeah. This is the best one, obviously, so.
Yeah. And you have other stuff happening too. The tour that you just announced went on sale a few days ago.
Yes, the Suburbia tour.
And how is the difference going to be from the next tour to the one that we just wrapped up like a month or two ago?
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of the same music. We're going to, of course, you know, I think the thing that's so exciting to me about touring is that it's really, really new to me. And so the growth for me, I played my first show maybe like 10 months ago now or something like that, 9 months ago. And so to think back to that to now and to think like just how much I feel like I grow every single show, I've learned more in the last like 10 months about myself and about humans and about like music and life than like I've learned in the rest of my entire life. So I am just excited to kind of show that off and keep growing and keep stepping it up. And I really, really, if all goes to plan, this next show will be like a complete huge step up from the last one.
Last question, because I know you have to go. Youth was your first big single on the radio.
Right.
Is there word on what the next single will be? Do we know yet?
There is, and it's so exciting. I can't tell you because I don't know when we're announcing this.
You can announce it right now.
No,
you can't.
I don't think I can.
There's like publicists and handlers looking at me like they want to stab me.
Yeah, they're like having heart attacks. No, but
they're all like, wrap it up, hurry up.
I'll tell you afterwards because it's okay. Really, really exciting.
So everyone listening to this, tweet me. And we'll tell you later. No, don't do that. Okay,
I'm
no,
not telling you
fine.
Anymore.
He's not going to tell me anything now. All right, Troy, I'm going to let you go.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Yay!
No worries.
Thank you again to Troy Sivan for taking out a little bit of his time on a very busy weekend to talk to us. Now, it's time for our chart side of the week.
All right.
On May 25th, 1996. Woo! 20 years ago. Truly.
What?
The Fugees topped the Billboard 200 chart with their breakthrough second album, The Score. Powered by the hit single Killing Me Softly, which was a cover of Roberta Flack's classic track, the album would garner a Grammy nomination for Album of the Year and become the biggest selling hip-hop release of 1996. The Score would prove to be the final album for the trio, as the three members all went on to pursue their own solo careers. Lauryn Hill went on to great success with her solo debut, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, while Wyclef Jean and Praz also released solo projects to varying degrees of success. So yes, back in 1996, the Fugees were...
You're killing me that it's 20 years ago. You're killing me softly.
Killing me softly?
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school and that song came out.
It's a long time ago.
Man, oh man.
Strumming my pain.
It's such a good song. And I'm embarrassed to say I did not know the Roberta Flack version when that version came out. And then I learned it after the fact.
A lot of people didn't.
Yeah.
It's a great way of discovering new music.
Yes.
It was a beautiful cover.
Yes.
Well, that's your chart side of the week. I don't know if I said the outro. So there you go. There's your chart side of the week. Woo! Yay! Fugees! All right, we'll be back next week. Katie, do you have any parting words?
I hope I have a voice next week to share with all of you. But thanks for listening to this one.
What song should we go out on?
Oh, man.
Killing Me Softly?
I mean, yes.
Great. Let's go out with Killing Me Softly from the Fugees. Bye.
Bye.